This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
These things can sometimes be like a therapy session.
Yeah.
People are coming at you like super vulnerable, pointing out what they're insecure about with their physical features. And I have to be very aware of how I can approach this in order for you to like stay level-headed. Mm-hmm. Because it can definitely like, people can get carried away with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where like the stigma comes from too.
Welcome to The Real Reel, where I take you behind the Instagram reel and into the real lives of entrepreneurs, content creators, and anyone who inspires me and may inspire you too. I'm your host, Natalie Barbu, and let's get into it. Hi, Marissa.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Yeah. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, which this would be the very first YouTube podcast, so you're my very first in-person on video guest, but we have like wires all over the place. The setup is not the best, and we took like 30 minutes trying to set this up, so thanks for being patient with me.
Oh my gosh, of course. I'm happy I'm here, so I'm in no rush.
No, I'm so excited. We've been wanting to do this podcast for a really, really long time. Like, I've been telling you, I'm like, I want you on my podcast. You've been messaging me. We finally got it together on a Sunday afternoon, which I'm really excited about. And if you guys don't know, Marissa is a PA and she actually does my lips. So she does my lip filler. She's done my Botox. And I've never done lip filler before you. So I can't compare it in terms of like experience, but I can compare it in terms of looks. And anytime I talk to like anyone about filler, getting their lips done, I'm always like, you need to come to Florida. Like, I don't care where they live. I'm like, if you live in LA, like my friend was in town and I was like, book an appointment with Marissa. My friend from Texas was in town and I was like, figure out when you're coming next and like book an appointment with her. My sister, like, I always tell people, and even if they're like, I don't know if I'm gonna get them done or not, I'm like, okay, well, if you do, like, you need to book it here.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
you're nice.
I found you on Instagram, and then ever since.
I was actually thinking about that yesterday. I'm like, did I reach out to you? Did you reach out to me? Like, when you first became a patient, it's because you came in, right? And then I think I saw that you had a following and I was like, wait, like, I feel like we could do something here. Like, would you be okay if I like posted this or something, right? That's how it started.
I found you through a girl that posted about you here in Miami. And I was like always contemplating if I should get my lips done or not. I have like a little bit of lips. Like, it's not like I didn't have any.
Right.
But I wanted like a little bit more like upper lip and like just a little fuller. But I'm so scared of looking fake. Mm-hmm. Like, because I've seen a lot of girls that it's so obvious when they get things done. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I don't really want to look like that. And I don't want to like mess it up. But once I saw this girl post about you and I loved the way hers looked, and then I went on your Instagram and liked the way that like you did everyone else's, I DM'd you. And I was like, can I book an appointment?
I love it.
And I think that's how we... like,
that's how it all started. Mm-hmm. And then we became friends after, because I was like, wait, can we be friends?
Well, normally I feel like PAs or like people that do injections, they're a lot older.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're
I'm
really
definitely
young.
On the younger side. I think I look younger. I'm 29. So some people are like, they come in and they're like, are you 18? Like, what are you doing? But I still, even at 29, I'm on the younger side. And I love that a lot of my patients are in their 20s or in their 30s. And I really, forming relationships with my patients is so much fun, because at the end of it, some of them will be like, wait, like, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah. I know.
It's so fun.
I was following your, obviously, like, PA account, but then I was like, I'm going to just follow her personal account.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm gonna look her up. I'm just going to follow her personal account.
I love it. Yeah. And then we started following each other on the personal accounts, and then we, like, would always respond to each other's stories and stuff. And we've been trying to do this podcast for like 6 months.
I know, literally forever, but it's happening now. But I want to go back to when you decided that you wanted to be a PA. Mm-hmm. So did you always want to go into medicine? And when you did go into medicine, were you thinking that you were going to be doing like aesthetics or injections, or what was kind of your 10-year plan when you were younger?
So my plan changed every year because I did not know what I wanted to do. And I think it's kind of unfair to go into college and people expect you to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. Like, that's mm-hmm. a big decision to make. And it's okay if you change your mind. So when I first started going to college, I went to UCF my first 2 years in Orlando, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I took like all of the like beginning courses of like, I was like, do I want to be a teacher? Like, I don't know what I want to do. And then I started doing well in the science classes, and I liked the science part of things, which is weird because growing up, I was terrible at science. Like, it was my hardest subject always. But I think I liked the challenge, and that's kind of what pushed me to keep doing it. And I didn't know what I wanted to specialize in or anything, but I was like, let's be a doctor. Like, that sounds fun.
Were you like a Grey's Anatomy watcher?
Yes.
When I was younger, I also thought I wanted to be a doctor. And when I was younger, when I was like in middle school, like early high school, I was like, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be like Meredith Grey.
I was like, I want to feel important. Like, I want people to look at me and be like, wow, like, she's important. We need her. So then I transferred to the University of Miami. I finished college there, and I decided to take a year off after graduating to study for the MCAT and apply to medical school. And during that year, it was the first time in my life that I wasn't studying for something. And I lived in the library when I was in college. Like, I had so much anxiety, and I didn't even realize it until now, like looking back. But I lived in the library. Every single time I would go out, I would like feel guilty for like having fun, because I would be like, I should be studying.
Yeah.
Especially because it's so competitive to get into medical school. I wanted to die. So it was the first time in my life that I wasn't studying, and I kind of got to experience life for what it was. And I was like, oh, like, life isn't all about school. And it's the first time that I realized that. So then I was like, I don't know if I want to be in school for the rest of my life, because there's medical school, which is 4 years. A lot of people have to take a gap year in between medical school and residency, do a year of research to become a competitive applicant for residency, do 2 or 3 years of residency. And then if you want to specialize further, you have to do a fellowship. So by the time you get out, you're like kind of old.
Yeah. You would just be getting out now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I decided that I didn't want to necessarily be a doctor anymore, but I still wanted to be in medicine. So I was like, how can I like be a doctor without being a doctor? And I literally Googled that. I'm like, what's like under a doctor, but like still being able to like help people. And that's how I found out what a PA was. And I was like, I wish I knew about this before. Like, my colleges that I went to like didn't really teach the kids what being a PA was, so I didn't know much about it. And then once I decided to go to PA school, it was like the best decision of my life by far. Like, looking back now, I'm so thankful that I decided to do it, because I can live my life. Like, the work-life balance is so much more attainable. And of course, it's not for everyone. I'm not like bashing doctors, but it was the best path for me. So I'm so glad that I did it. And then during my PA school rotations, I chose an elective rotation in dermatology. And that's when I saw like the cosmetic side of things. And I was like, wait, this is actually amazing to be able to like help people feel more comfortable in their own skin. Like, it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I loved that not everyone is good at it. Like, you really have to have an eye. It's like an art almost.
100%. I don't want someone that like doesn't have that eye doing like working on my face.
Yeah. And like tiny little things, tiny little changes can make such a big difference in someone's confidence. And I loved that part of it. So then I started looking more into the aesthetic side of medicine. And that's kind of how all of that unfolded.
A feeling everyone listening to this has experienced is standing in front of the mirror, battling with your hair, and trying to tame the frizz before you head out. Meanwhile, you could be doing something more exciting, like booking a spontaneous getaway to, I don't know, the Caribbean or something, or binge watching the Eras Tour like I did this weekend. That's where Way's new anti-frizz cream swoops in to save the day. You are too busy to be dealing with frizz, so say hello to Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is like a magic wand for your your hair, which provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. And if we're going to talk about hair routine, incorporating Way's anti-frizz cream into mine has literally transformed my hair. It is a time-saving superhero that fits seamlessly into my routine. And can we talk about the Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent? It is like a mini vacation every time I use it and takes me back to Australia when I went this summer. Not to mention, my hair feels lighter and looks smoother than ever before. So get busy being frizz-free with Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's not just about taming frizz. It provides heat protection up to 450 degrees, it reduces and repairs split ends, and it quenches dry hair with intense hydration. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looked less frizzy after using it, so you gotta trust it. Don't forget to check out Way's other bestsellers, though, like the leave-in conditioner, their detox shampoo, which I use every time I wash my hair because I can go a long time without washing my hair. Fragrances and hair oils, they are all essential for achieving that salon-worthy look at home. So frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code REALREAL for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code REALREAL.
Were you someone that was getting fillers yourself? Were you getting Botox? Like, were you interested in that in your personal life?
Yeah. So right before PA school, I had gotten lip filler for the first time. And I remember it was terrifying. I was so nervous. I didn't know like what to expect or what I was going to look like or anything. And it was also like still not that accepted the way that it is sort of now. So I got lip filler, and then like a year later, I got some Botox, and the way that it just like made subtle changes to my face, it enhanced my confidence so much because I wasn't like insecure about the things that I used to be insecure about anymore because someone was able to help me with that.
Yeah.
So I loved that part of it and the way that it changed like my life and my confidence and the way I felt about myself. I wanted to be able to do that for other people too.
Yeah. Well, I think that like it does get such a bad rap. Like it gets people think like, oh, you know, plastic surgery or filler, or, you know, it like makes people look fake or it's so obvious. Like one of my biggest pet peeves, I always say this, but it's when like guys will say, make comments and they're like, I like a girl that's natural. And
then
I'm
like, my TikToks?
Yes. And then I'm like, okay, show me what type of girl.
Right.
And they'll show me girls that I know get lip filler, get Botox, get like whatever threads, get whatever else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you like it because she got a great job, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, just because you get something done does not mean that you are not like naturally beautiful either. Like they're both naturally beautiful. But I think the language that bothers me is when they assume that because you've gotten anything done that it's not like natural, you know?
Completely.
I'm like, you can just enhance your natural beauty with it.
When I had, this was like 2 years ago, I had already gotten lip filler and Botox, and I went on a date with a guy and we were talking about it because I think I told him I was like interested. I think I was still in PA school and I told him I was interested in the aesthetic portion of medicine. And he was like, please don't ever get your lips done. Like you really, like you don't need it. And I'm like, little do you know. And it's so annoying. Like it's so true. So many guys, it's really the guys who say it more than anything.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, first of all, no one asked for your opinion. And second of all, most people who have lip filler, you don't notice it, or Botox, like you don't notice it because it's a job well done.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, if I have a patient who I do their lips or Botox or whatever, and then they walk out on the street and someone comes up to them and says, oh my gosh, like who's your injector? That means I did a bad job because I want it to be natural. I want it to be something that people don't notice because I don't like the overdone look. Some people are into that and like more power to you if you are, but that's just not my technique and like the way that I approach it.
Yeah. And I think that that bothers me so much when people say that, because like I said, like it really does just increase your natural beauty and it doesn't need to look like fake or anything like that. Do you ever tell clients, are you ever like, hey, like maybe you don't need to get something done, or maybe let's not go overboard? Like do some clients come to you and they really want like more and you're like, I know this is going to look like not natural?
Yeah. Yeah. It has happened before. I'm always honest. So at the end of the day, you really have to have like your patient's best interest at mind or at heart. you can't just like go into it being like, oh, like if you look at your patients like dollar signs, then you're immediately like going to fail. And if someone comes in and I like you, for example, I really like the way your lips look. If you told me that you wanted more, I would be like, we can do a little more, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to give you double of what you have because one, it would look so bad.
Yeah.
And even if like you think it looks good, I know that it doesn't look good. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that. And on top of that, the more you put in, if your lips can't handle it, there's too much pressure in there and then it migrates. And then it goes into areas that you don't want it to. And then it looks really bad.
It's like when you get that like upper lip bump.
Yeah.
When like, yeah that's like exactly. It migrating.
Yeah. But I have no problem telling patients like, no, if you want more, like go to someone else because I'm not going to do it on you.
Really? So you can like, I mean, it's your work that is being reflected. Like if someone's like, oh, it's so obvious where you get your lips done. And they told me that it was you and I like hate the way that they look. I'm not going to go to you.
Right.
Because I'd be like, exactly. Okay, that's her work. Like no, that's yeah. what she does.
My patients are my walking advertisements. Like I say it all the time. And I don't want it to be ugly. I really mm-hmm. don't. I want it to be something that will benefit you. And of course, like my number one priority is making people happy. But I know that there can be like an unhealthy side to all of this and like becoming addicted to lip filler, becoming addicted to the way you look and never being happy and always pointing out a flaw. And that's like almost the most important part of my job is these things can sometimes be like a therapy session.
Yeah.
People are coming at you like super vulnerable, pointing out what they're insecure about with their physical features. And I have to be very aware of how I can approach this in order for you to like stay level-headed mm-hmm. because it can definitely like people can get carried away with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where like the stigma comes from too.
So when people come to you and you can tell that they're like, because sometimes I think that the slippery slope is that you're never satisfied. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I got my lips done. Next, I want to get, you know, lifts, then threads, then cheek filler, then maybe like jaw filler, and maybe then sculpting, whatever. You know, like there's always little things that you can do. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like it's your job to also be like, hey, you don't need that? Like you're, you know, like, because it's giving you more money also, mm-hmm. like if they want more and more. But do you ever feel like that line of like, do I tell them that like, I don't think they need more or it's their body, they can do whatever they want. And so I'll do it for them.
It's their body. They can do whatever they want, but I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Okay.
So if I feel like they're getting too carried away with it, I have no problem in telling them you're not going to benefit from this anymore. Like you're going to reach a point where like you're going to lose your beauty. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite ways of approaching this is I always take before and after pictures and people forget what they used to look like. Mm-hmm. So if I think that they look great the way they are and they tell me that they want this and that and all these things that I really don't think that they would benefit from, I take a picture of what they look like now. I show them the original when they first came in, whether that be a month before or like 3 years before. And I'm like, look at what we've done already. Mm-hmm. Like we don't want to keep working on something because you're eventually going to hit a point where it's not going to benefit you anymore and it's only going to subtract from your beauty.
Yeah, that's so hard because there is so much pressure today to always have like that next thing, you know, where like I feel like social media and, you know, certain celebrities really influence beauty standards.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll have like Bella Hadid who has like a very snatched like alien-like face. Like it looks like she's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but like it doesn't look like a real person anymore. Like right. It's like you are on your own beauty standard, and I'm not saying this to like bash her, like I think she's gorgeous, yeah. But you can tell that there's like a lot of work that's been done, and then you'll see girls that completely like alter their entire face to like look like someone else, and then they end up getting like carried away because like then that person, like Bella Hadid, might change the way she looks and she now has softer features. And mm-hmm. it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to now go back and do that? Like, they have so much money
yeah.
and so much accessibility to, like, the best doctors in the world. They're like, yeah, they can change the way that they look in, like, a second. Or the best makeup artist that can, like, change the way they look in a second. Mm-hmm. But you can't. So, like, when exactly. are you going to be okay with the way that you look?
And you're going to reach a point where you're doing more harm than good. Mm-hmm. You know? There's this trend now with the buckle fat removal. Do you know what that is?
Yes. It scares me so much. I'm like,
it is so stupid.
Why are people doing that?
If you are interested in getting that done, like, please do not, because you will regret it in the future. So this area right here is like people like the snatch look that like Bella Hadid has, for example. And sure, it might look good now, but down the line when you start aging, this is just going to get thinner and thinner and thinner, and you can't put filler here. You can't.
Oh, really?
It's not possible. Yeah. So you're just going to have like a super thin face, and then it's going to be really, really hard to like get that volume back when you are losing volume, because we all lose volume as we age. Like, we lose collagen. It's just like a way of life.
So have you had people ask you for it?
I've had one patient come in and told me that she got it surgically done before and that she regretted it. So she wanted filler there. And I was like, we can't do filler. We can do Sculptra, which is another thing that like stimulates collagen production. Mm-hmm. But like all of that because you got a surgery to remove what now you wish you had.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the trends. Some of them are fine and other ones are just such a bad idea. And people just run with it because they think like, especially with TikTok nowadays, like
trends change so fast.
Crazy. Yeah.
So I know that you said that it's kind of like a therapy session, like when some patients come to you.
Yeah.
And you yourself obviously have like grown and become more confident. And like, I know you've talked about that on TikTok as well. What's kind of your secret of like becoming a more confident person while still that balance of, you know, it's okay to like want things done. It's okay to want those like natural enhancements and stuff, but remaining confident.
It's tricky for sure. I don't think that there's like one answer to that. It took me a long time to become confident. That's for sure. Like in college, even I was a scared human being. I didn't like when people looked at me. I always felt like I was taking up too much space, and I just like, I wasn't confident with the way that I looked either. Like, I never really thought that I was like anything special. And what I've learned, first of all, like comparing yourself to others is always going to make you feel horrible about yourself. You really just have to like do your best to love who you are from the inside, and then the energy that you like exude from that will make such a big difference in the way that other people treat you in life. So with physical beauty, I think it's tricky because I like being able to help people. When someone sits in my chair, it's such, like I said, such a vulnerable thing for them to point out what they don't like or what they want to change. And honestly, like bedside manners in my job is maybe one of the most important things, because if you're sitting in my chair and I'm pointing out all the things that I don't like about you or that I think I could fix, it's like new insecurity unlocked, you know?
Right.
If I start pointing out like, oh, like, I don't know, like you lost a lot of volume in your cheeks, like you need cheek filler. And you're like, wait, what? Like I thought my cheeks were good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that you have to like be careful with the way that you approach things. But back to like the confidence thing of it all, I really think it just comes with time and with learning who you are. And that comes with experience. And then waking up every day and, you know, like really trying to be the best version of yourself, then you're going to start liking yourself more. Mm-hmm. I saw this thing on TikTok. I listened to this other podcast and they were talking about beauty standards and how everyone's like, especially everyone on TikTok now, which I love TikTok, but like sometimes it can be toxic.
Oh, 100%.
And no people secret are like, there. People are like, you should embrace like your beauty and embrace aging. Like, why is everyone so anti-aging? And I agree. I don't like the word anti-aging because the other option is dying. Like you're either aging or you're dying. Like those are the only two options. So it's obviously like a good thing to be alive and whatever that includes aging. But everyone now is like, embrace your wrinkles, like embrace aging. Like, why is everyone so afraid of like getting older? And it's like, it's not like that. It's not being afraid of getting older. It's about aging gracefully and doing whatever you want in order to achieve like what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. So if that's getting Botox because you're noticing that you're getting wrinkles in your forehead, like no one should shame you for wanting to do that. We dye our hair if we have gray hair and no one says anything about that. But then when it comes to like injectables, because it's such a slippery slope, people immediately just like exit out and they're like, no, and they like want to cancel it. And I don't think that that's the way that it should be. I think it should be something that, you know, you do slowly, you make sure you go to the right person. And it could be something about like aging gracefully or just like feeling better in your own skin. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between insecurities that come from like, I've always been insecure about like tiny lips or whatever, versus, oh, I'm now seeing filters and I'm seeing these celebrities, I'm seeing influencers, and they're prettier than me and I want to become pretty. And I think there's differences in insecurities. Like,
absolutely.
Insecurity that comes with comparison, and granted, all insecurity probably at one point stemmed from comparison, but when it's really like you're just comparing it to like people that you're seeing online or filters even now, and that you're like, oh, well, I thought I was fine, but now that I see myself compared to this person or compared to this filter and what I look like without it, like, I actually am not pretty. I think that's the bad insecurity versus, hey, I've always been insecure about this, I just want to get like a little bit of filler in just to like make myself feel a little better and feel a little bit more confident. It's kind of like when you're wearing a cute outfit, like you feel better. Like, you feel better when you're wearing a cute outfit than when you're wearing sweats and sweatpants and like no makeup and whatever. You just feel more confident. And I don't think anyone shames people when they feel more confident for that. You know, right. So like if it is subtle things, then that you shouldn't get shamed for that either.
Exactly. I agree with the filter thing. I have some patients come in and they show me them with a filter and they're like, I want my lips to look like this.
I was going to ask you if people do that. Like, do people come in and they're like, okay, so let's pull open Snapchat. Let's pull open the Bold Glamour filter on TikTok.
Literally. They're like, I want to look like that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's take a step back for a second. And, you know, it helps me to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, like, that is an unachievable beauty standard. And that filter makes everyone look the same. Imagine if we all look the same. It takes away beauty.
It does.
I have a friend who is beautiful. And she comes to me for subtle, like, Botox, lip filler, whatever. And she told me that she is thinking about getting a nose job. She has, like, maybe a tiny bump. Nothing crazy. And I looked at her and I was like, obviously, do whatever you want. It's your face at the end of the day. Like, more power to you. Like, do whatever you want. But I personally, I like your nose. Like, she is such a beautiful person and her nose makes her different. Mm-hmm. If she got like that cute button nose that everyone has, then it's not going to make her stand out as much. Like, uniqueness is beautiful and we have to embrace that. But then at the same time, like, if it's something that she's insecure about, I always say this. If you have been thinking about something for long enough, then do it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's buying that designer bag or those sneakers or getting your lips done, like, don't be so spontaneous and impulsive with these things. But if it's something that you've been thinking about for long enough, then do it, because you're never going to stop thinking about it at that point.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's like, I don't want to look like everyone else. But when you compare yourself on Instagram to people that all look the same, it's kind of like, and you see also a lot of girls will look at like the pictures that maybe like a guy that they like is liking or who they're following, and they don't look like those girls, or like who's becoming famous right now, who's blowing up. Oh, I don't look like that. Like, I don't have that body. I don't have that face. And then they think like, that's the reason why that person gets attention, or that person has fame, or that person has those guys liking them. They're never going to like me and I'm never going to be like that. And I hate that, because that's also something when I was younger, I used to feel like I've always been very, very small and petite and like no boobs, no butt. I'm saying that just like I never really loved that I didn't have like any curves. Like, because I could see that guys were paying attention to girls that had boobs and had a nice butt, or like they would make comments like that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not me. So like, I'm never going to be like that. And when I was younger, I was like, oh, I kind of want a boob job, like maybe, you know, just to get like them a little nicer, bigger. And nothing wrong with boob jobs at all. Like, maybe in later in life, I'll get one. Like, I don't know. I'm never going to say never. But now I'm like so happy that I didn't, because the only reason why I wanted it was like I was comparing myself to other people, and because like guys liked girls with that. Mm-hmm. That's literally the only reason why. It was not because like me personally would feel more confident with it. It was to get like other people's attention.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad now that I didn't do that, because now I can, like, I never wear bras. I can wear whatever I want. Like,
I saw your TikTok. You're like, things that I don't do anymore. Yeah. Wear a bra. Like, when's the last time I did that?
I know. I just, like, I never do that anymore. Yeah. Like, it's kind of nice. Like, I'm wearing one today for the first time in, like, months, because I'm wearing, like, a white tight shirt. And I, like, went to church this morning, so I'm like, I can't, like, not wear one.
Jesus would not approve of your no bra.
I, like, need one just for this situation. But, like, if I wasn't going there, then, like, I wouldn't wear one.
Like, yeah, And also, like you said, like, the trends come and go. Like, it's trendy to have small boobs, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, to not wear a bra. Like, girls with big boobs are like, I wish I could not wear a bra, but, like, they literally can't because their boobs would be everywhere.
Exactly.
It's so funny. It's so funny how I'm glad that you didn't. If you wanted to for the right reasons, then absolutely do it. But if it's for the wrong reasons, then it's never worth it because you're going to end up regretting it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
And also, I want to talk about TikTok for a second, like, social media, because you're kind of like, I feel like you're growing a lot on there.
Thank you. I try sometimes.
Yeah. How is that? Do majority of your patients come, like, from social media now? And also, like, I guess, like, with social media growing, like, is that something that you want to pursue too? Or would you ever, like, give up being a PA to, like, do social media full time if you were able to?
Oh my gosh. No one's ever asked me that before.
Because I always feel like people that are, like, big on social media, if they work, like, corporate jobs, the second that they become an influencer and, like, make enough money, like, they're out, because like, obviously it's so much more fun to be a content creator.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have, like, a passion for being a PA. So, like, I don't know if you would give that up.
I wouldn't, just because I spent so many years of my life working toward my career. And not only that, but I love what I do. Like, I don't wake up every morning and think, like, oh, I have to go to work. First of all, my coworkers are amazing. I love everyone that I work with. I really enjoy the environment that I work in. And I look forward to seeing my patients. It's something that I'm passionate about. And I would never give up my passion just because it's a job. You know what I mean? But yeah, I get the majority of my patients from my Instagram, and a lot of them from TikTok, actually, too, which is really funny because it's TikTok. Like, I never thought that I would, like, get patients from TikTok, but now that it's kind of, like, growing and stuff, I do get some patients from there. And I always ask people, like, oh, like, where did you find me? And I'd say, like, 90% of it is Instagram and 10% is TikTok.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Because your TikTok is mainly, like, your personal life, I feel like, right? Like, you have a focus on PA, but it's a lot of, like, personal stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that if I post a lot of stuff about, like, my job before and afters on TikTok, it doesn't do as well. But if I do, like, stuff about, like, my work outfits or, like, day in my life or, like, get ready with me, those tend to do, or, like, things I've learned in my 20s. I love doing those. Those do really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is what, like, people want to know about me. Like, this is weird.
Yeah, like, your Instagram is, like, your work side and, like, your portfolio. And then TikTok, it's, like, people want to know you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I love your things I've learned in my 20s videos.
Thank you.
I think that they're so good. They help so many people. What are some things, you can repeat what you've said on TikTok, but what are some, like, big lessons that you have learned in your 20s?
I'd say one of the biggest ones that I had a really hard time learning is not everyone is going to like you, and it has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really hard time with that. I got bullied like crazy when I was in middle school, and I feel like that really shaped me as a human. I really truly think that that's the reason why I'm such a nice person now and why a lot of insecurities came out of that. But looking back, obviously, every bad thing that's ever happened to me ended up being a blessing in disguise,
mm-hmm.
and has, like, really helped me for the better. So after middle school, I never really had problems with anyone because I really try hard to be liked by everyone. And then I realized that that wasn't a good thing.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, there were a group of girls who were not nice to me at all. And they didn't even know me. I never had a conversation with them in my life, and they just hated me. And I had such a hard time with it because all I wanted was their approval. And I reached a point where I tried so hard and wasn't getting anywhere with them. And then I woke up one day and I was like, why do I care? Mm-hmm. And I realized that the more sure you become of yourself and the more you learn about yourself and understand who you are, the less you care about what other people think of you.
Yeah.
So when they didn't like me, I was like, am I a bad person? Like, is that why? Like, do I need to change? And now I look at it and if someone doesn't like me, I'm like, well, it's your loss.
Yeah, like, as you should. Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't want, like, I don't like everyone. So why do I expect everyone to like me? You know, so that's definitely one of the biggest things that I've learned. And it was one of the hardest pills to swallow because I always just like really cared about what other people thought of me. And I can tell you it's the most relieving thing to not care anymore.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I totally agree. I feel like everyone kind of goes through a moment where you're either trying for everyone to like you, and maybe if you're listening, you're still trying to have everyone like you, or you realize, actually, I don't care and I'm fine with people not like me. Because like you said, you don't like everyone and you don't, that doesn't necessarily mean that you hate them. It doesn't mean that you like dislike them.
Right.
They're just like not someone that you would be friends with. Like, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with them. It's just like, you guys are different.
Yeah. Even the people who have treated me badly, I don't dislike. It's just, I'm not going to be your friend because you don't want to be my friend.
Yeah. And that's something that I think it comes with self-awareness too. Like being self-aware that you're not doing anything wrong. You're not a bad person. You're not annoying. It's just, you guys aren't like compatible people, or some other people are just really mean. And like, you don't want them to like you.
There are mean people out there.
Yes. And I don't know about you, but like, I'm someone that I genuinely just see the good in people.
Yes. That's like honestly a flaw sometimes though.
Yes. Like I just automatically assume that people are good. Mm-hmm. And that like, if you don't like me, it's because there's like, maybe I'm doing something wrong, or maybe, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe you had a bad day, or I like always want to like give people like multiple chances.
Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And then I realized like some people are just really freaking mean. Like, yeah. They just are unhappy. They're never going to be happy, at least like if they don't change. And that's not on me. And I think that comes with a lot of self-awareness, but also being able to like read other people and figure out if you want to continue in a situation, or if you're just like, I'm out of here and like, I don't care. And I don't care if you like me or don't like me. Like, I'm not going to like put in any more effort.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to change myself for you.
I will say the biggest thing that I didn't understand when people didn't like me, my friends or whatever, my family, whoever would be like, oh, it's because they're jealous. And I never believed that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what would they be jealous of? Like, it doesn't stem from jealousy. So that's one thing that I never understood, why people didn't like me. And then when people would say, oh, it's jealousy, I'm like, that's definitely not it though. Like, it has to be something else. And I've realized over the years that like a lot of it is jealousy.
I was going to say, honestly, a lot of it is jealousy. And also a lot of it is that other people are really just unhappy.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you're unhappy, you don't want to see other people happy.
Yeah.
And so if you have like anything, they'll pick out anything that they're kind of like, why does she have that? Why is she like that?
They see it as a threat or something.
Yes.
Or it stems like from their own insecurity. Like they don't like that everyone else likes you. So they decide that they're not going to like you.
Mm-hmm. Or like, I see this all the time with social media. And obviously this happens in real life too, but especially you see it with influencers. People at first will worship someone pretty much, which is also not good, but they'll be like, oh my God, I love this influencer. I love this content creator. They're amazing. And then everyone else starts to like them. And it's like, wow, you're so great. Yay. And then they get a lot of followers and then they quit their job and then they start doing social media full time and then they start like becoming bigger. And then all of a sudden you're like at this peak. And then people are like, actually, I never liked her. She's like, she's so rude. She
becomes the villain.
She becomes the villain. And it always happens to women.
Yeah.
You do not see that happening to men on social media.
Yeah.
Because sadly, I mean, not sadly, but like, sadly, women do this more. But like other men, for the most part, I feel like aren't attacking other men on the internet. They're mm-hmm. not like, oh, he's like not even funny. He's whatever. They just kind of are like, okay, Leah, we like him. But for some reason, girls, they get so catty or they get so like mean online. And mm-hmm. it's like, actually, I never liked you and you're ugly and you're this, you're that. Or they'll attack your character and be like, you're just not relatable anymore. You're like stuck up.
I remember that specifically happening to Emily Mariko. the rice girl.
Yes.
Salmon and Rice.
Yes.
Everyone loved her stuff. And then she became so big. And then people were like, we hate her.
Yeah. They're
and
like,
I was like, where did this come from? She literally posted the same content over and over and over again to the point where people started hating it for no reason. Like, she did not change whatsoever. They just decided one day to wake up and be like, let's not like her anymore. And it's like, she didn't do anything.
Yep. Or they're like, actually, she has designer items and that's like yeah. not relatable. It's like, hate to break to you, but she's always had that and you guys were fine. And also, like, okay, if you don't like someone anymore because you don't relate to them, then just don't watch them.
Yeah. You don't have to voice your opinion on every matter.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't.
And again, it goes back to like, that's fine. Not everyone's going to like you. I am not asking for everyone to like me, but you don't need to be mean. Like, there's a difference between like, I don't like you, so I'm not going to hang out with you and I'm not going to talk to you and I'm not going to follow you and I'm going to whatever. All of that is totally fair, totally valid. Remove yourself from that person's life. But if you then say, I don't like you, so I'm now going to be mean to you, that's just like, no, you're a bad person.
I really, really think that being mean is the lowest tier of personality traits.
Yeah.
Like, people are so scared of being boring that they would rather be mean
mm-hmm.
because it like gives them some sort of leverage. So when people are mean for no reason, like, honestly, I think they're a loser. I'm like, you're a weirdo and you can keep doing it. Like, it's not going to affect me, even though it used to. But now I realize, like, you're just terrified of like being a boring person. So you decide to be mean instead. And that's your prerogative. Like, do whatever you want, but it's not my problem.
Mm-hmm. Totally. No, I completely agree. And I think you see it. I mean, like in real life, like how you were bullied, people are like that. And now you can interact with those types of people from all over the world on social media. So it's like,
yeah,
even harder. Like, they don't need to go to your middle school.
Yeah.
They can live in another country. You can still feel that effect.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the people that were mean to me in the past are now wanting to come and get lip filler.
Do you take them? Are you like, sorry, I'm all booked. Actually, I'm like really successful now. Like,
I really would rather not see you, but
that's yeah. so funny. That yeah, always happens crazy. Though.
I mean, honestly, just don't stoop down to their level. Like, if someone is mean, don't be mean back because it's not worth it at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And once you're mean, no one's going to believe the nice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I've learned. Like, I was mean to one person in the past like 2 years and I wasn't even that mean, but I still think about it to this day because I'm like, now she just thinks that I'm a mean person.
Yeah.
And I'm like forever sorry about it. But still, I'm like, the fact that I was capable of being like even giving like the slightest bit of attitude, I'm like, now she thinks that that's who I am as a person. And I hate that. I hate it.
Yeah.
So like, people who think that being mean is like a cool thing, I'm like, you're such a loser.
I know. I totally agree. And yeah, it is something that like even like those girls from middle school, like they could have changed and like maybe become nicer today. But that's all you know them as now, because like that's who they were for a long period of time. And they affected you even to this day.
Yeah, I have more of like a cross to bear with the older girls.
Yeah.
Like when you're in your 20s and you're being mean is so different from when you were in middle school and being mean. When you're in middle school, like you're still trying to learn who you are. There's one girl who bullied me like crazy in middle school and I've never ever seen her again. And I have no like ill will toward her because I'm yeah. like, we're kids. Like she
right.
probably doesn't even remember half the things she did to me. But now that I'm 29 years old, like you're still bullying me. Like
no,
what are
pathetic.
We doing? Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's so pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Marissa, for coming on my podcast. This was amazing. Yes.
I had so much fun.
Me too.
I'm glad that we talked about all of that. That was fun.
I know. And also, I know I keep saying this, but like, you really are the only the second person I've talked to in person. So the energy is just so much better.
Oh,
makes such a better conversation.
I love it. I love it in person. This
yeah.
is fun. I love everything that you do. Like, I told all my friends, I was like, I'm going to be on a podcast.
Aww.
And they're like, wait, who is she? And I'm like, oh, you guys have no idea. Like, you have been such a cute person from the very beginning. Like, you're such a good person. You're so nice.
Thank you. You're
like so loyal too. Like, you'll post when I like post your lips or something, like you'll just randomly like post it and support me. And like, that's not even coming from like a friend's standpoint, because it's not even like we're close friends. But the fact that you do that to support my business means so much. So I want to say thank you for doing that. And I'm like glad that I could be here and we can just help support each other in our businesses. It's so cool.
Yeah. No, thank you. Seriously. I'm like literally obsessed with you.
Like, no, I'm obsessed with you. Like, what are you doing after this? Let's get lunch.
Seriously. Like every time, I'm not kidding, I want to recruit everyone to you. I'm like, everyone needs thank to go you. To Marissa. Like, I don't care if you, they'll show me people. They'll be like, oh, well, I was going to go to this person, like wherever they live. The person does a good job. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But I'm like, but no, like, you need to go to Marissa.
Thank you.
Well,
you're the best.
Where can they find you and where can they also make an appointment with you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I forgot about that. You can follow me on Instagram and on TikTok. The usernames are the same. It's Marissa, the PA. Marissa's with two S's. And then I work at Farber Plastic Surgery in Boca with Dr. Farber, who is the best plastic surgeon in the area. So you can call Farber Plastic Surgery. The link is in my bio, also on Instagram and on TikTok. So you can call to make an appointment there.
Amazing. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Real. I hope that you enjoyed, and don't forget to rate, review, follow, or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Natalie Barbu and the podcast at The Real Real Podcast. I'll see you next Monday.
Hey there, my name is Renee Rina, and I am the mom friend you have always wanted. I am also the host of the Mom Room podcast. We publish 2 episodes per week, a co-hosted episode on Tuesdays and a solo episode on Thursdays. Popular topics include pooping and having sex after giving birth. I have a solo episode where I talk about not sharing a bed with my husband and why that's okay. I hope you'll tune in to these conversations every week. Join us on Instagram at the Mom Room podcast and start to feel a little less alone in this crazy thing called motherhood.